Pepper Young's family. Pepper Young's family is the true-to-life story of your friends, the Youngs. We'll be with them in just a moment after this message.
Sam, what do you think we ought to do? Do you think we ought to notify the Trents that she's here? Should we phone them or send them a wire and say that she's arrived home safely?
Well, we certainly should. They're entitled to some consideration there. After all, what must they think of her? What must they think of any girl who walks out of a house like that?
Sam, I don't care what they think. I'm just so glad it's all over.
All over?
Yes.
Well, you mean between Peggy and Carter?
Well, yes, because I think it is. Don't you?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just going one step at a time, Mary. First thing we've got to do is notify them that she's here, that she arrived safely.
Well, you do it, dear.
Yeah, I suppose the best way is a telegram.
Yes, I think so.
Well, I'll just say, Peggy arrived home. She'll write. Explain later.
Well, it's going to be hard for her to write and explain. What can she say?
Well, how do I know, Mary? But I'll put it in the telegram anyway. Give me Western Union, please. Hello, Western Union. I want to send a telegram to Mr. Carter Trent, Winnetka, Illinois. Yes, T-R-E-N-T. No, T. T as in Tom. All right, here's the message. Peggy arrived home. She will write explaining sudden departure. Signed, Samuel Young. Now, will you please read that thing? Yes, yes, that's it. Will you send that right away, please? Thank you. That's done. At least they'll know that she's here.
Yes, darling, they'll know she's come home.
But what must they think of us, Mary? Of the way we brought her up, to have her do a thing like that. That's what worries me. Heaven only knows what they think badly enough of us anyway without a thing like this happening.
Oh, I don't know, Sam. Children do things on impulse.
Peggy Young's visit in Chicago ended very abruptly because Peggy, her feelings hurt by some of Carter's thoughtless friends, slipped away from the Trent house in the middle of the night. Her family is still rather flabbergasted at her sudden appearance, in spite of Peggy's explanation. But knowing that underneath her apparent happiness of being home, Peggy must be upset and worried, Mrs. Young tries to handle the situation as casually as possible.
Where's your bag, dear?
I didn't bring it. I left everything there at the Trent.
You didn't bring anything? You left without any baggage at all?
Yes, but I guess they can send it. It's just that old black dress. I doubt if I'll ever want to see that dress again.
Oh, but Peggy, there's so much trouble for the Trents to ship your baggage here.
I know, but I didn't stop to think about bags or anything else. I just wanted to get out of there.
You know, Peggy, it's too bad you didn't have the right clothes with you. You had so many pretty dresses from last summer that you could have worn.
They wouldn't have looked like anything either, Mama. Those girls had on perfectly gorgeous things. Anything I had would just have looked like what it was, small town.
Oh, Peggy, I'm sorry all this happened. I'm sorry for Carter's sake. I think you've been a little hard on him, dear.
You know, Mama, I can't seem to think about Carter in any of this. It's as if he were apart from all that's happened. It wasn't Carter who took me to that dance. It wasn't his house I visited. It's as if he were a stranger that I'd met for the first time.
Yes, but he didn't act any different, did he? Any different than he always acts.
Oh, no. He was darling. Except that all of a sudden, seeing him dressed up in evening clothes and not in his uniform, he looked different, Mama. And all of a sudden, it seemed he was different. Perhaps because he was there with his friends and his family. You know, it must be awful if you marry somebody and go home with them and it strikes you that way after you've married. When it's too late to do anything about it.
What strikes you, Peggy?
The fact that someone can be a different person than the one you're in love with. Like Carter in Chicago seemed like another person. Somebody I'd never met before. So somebody I liked that I wouldn't want to spend the rest of my life with. Oh, Mama, I never expected to talk this way about Carter.
Peggy, did you leave any word as to where you'd gone so that Carter would know?
I just left a note saying that I'd gone to the Somerset Hotel.
Well, of course he'll try to find you.
I suppose so. If he calls the hotel, I guess they'll tell him I've gone home. I said I was going back to Elmwood where I belong.
Well, Peggy, there's lots to do around the house. Now that you're home, you might as well be useful as well as ornamental.
We'll be back with the Youngs in a moment after this message.
Door, Peggy.
Hello, Mrs. Young.
But Carter.
I came to see Peggy just as quickly as I could. I caught the first train and just now got in. I didn't even telephone. I was afraid she might not be here. Thought she might be in a hospital or something, or she might not have come straight home. But there she is. Peggy, am I glad to see you.
Oh, Carter, I'm glad to see you, too.
I've got to talk to you. You don't mind, do you, Mrs. Young?
No, of course not. Suppose you two sit right here in the living room.
Now, what is all this, Peggy? Please tell me why you went away like that.
Carter, I went away because all of a sudden I knew that I didn't belong in your life.
Oh, Peggy, it couldn't be for that reason. You couldn't think that. That's not the reason. Say anything else. That somebody hurt your feelings, that Mother did something, or that
something... No, no. She was more than kind. She really couldn't have been nicer.
Well, that Dad was gruff or something.
No,
like
he was kind, too. Everybody was, Carter. I couldn't have been treated better, and I'm sorry I made you ashamed of me by running away like that.
Darling, listen, you couldn't ever make me ashamed, no matter what you did. Whatever you did would be for a good reason. Now, come on, what happened? Tell me. Did anybody do anything to you, Peggy?
No, nobody did anything to me. Honestly, Carter. Really, they didn't.
Well, then what did happen?
I think I realized when I got to your house, Carter, when I saw how beautiful it was and how magnificent and how you lived, that your mother and father were terribly right when they said that I didn't belong in that life. That I could never take the place your wife should take.
You know perfectly well I don't intend to live that kind of life.
Darling, I know you've told me that, but... Oh, Carter, you just can't sidestep all those responsibilities. It wouldn't be right. You were born for that sort of life. And with the people I met there. And with the kind of girls I met there.
Yes, I wouldn't marry one of those girls you met. I know them too well. They're not like you, Peggy. They're not the girls for me.
Perhaps not those girls, Carter, but that type of girl. I wouldn't want to always be subject to their criticism and have people say that I married you for your money and that I wasn't good enough for you.
Nobody said that, did they? They couldn't say that.
Yes, I overheard it on the porch of the clubhouse the other night. I was sitting there when you went inside for my coat, remember?
Yes.
Well, I heard a lot of things then. They didn't know I was there. And I heard what everybody in Chicago was saying about me.
So that was it.
Yes.
Why didn't you tell me?
What good would it have done to tell you? You'd have said just what you're saying now. You'd say all these things and you'd persuade me to stay. And I probably would have. And I'd probably try to tell myself that that they didn't know what they were talking about and that they were jealous and all the rest of it.
That's the truth. They are jealous, Peggy. No matter what girl I looked at, as long as she wasn't in that circle... That smug little circle, they'd talk about her. There are always people who talk about you. You know that, Peg. You know that a lot of girls chattering on a clubhouse porch doesn't mean a thing.
No, Carter, I think it's significant. The sort of person you should marry should be sweet and gracious and a great lady. Darling, I'm everything in the world that you might like, but Carter, I'd never be a great lady. Truly, I couldn't.
That's just what you are, darling. You and your mother, two of the greatest ladies I've ever met.
Thank you for saying that, but you just don't know how out of place I felt in Chicago. How completely lost.
I know. It was crazy having dinner in that big dining room. I asked Mother to have it in a small room.
No, I belong here, Carter. That's what I wrote you, and that's what I mean. I belong right here in Elmwood, right here with my own people. Or in a little place like Elmwood. I don't say I wouldn't go any place with my husband, any place in the world. But it's got to be a little place. And he's got to be, somebody that I feel I'm just as good as.
You're so much better than I am, darling. You're so much better than any girl I ever met. Peggy, I love you. I really love you. And if you throw me over, if you let me down, I don't know what'll happen to me. Honestly, I don't. And I don't care either. How can you, after all the things we've said to each other, after all the vows we made? Are you going to let money separate us? Or gossip? Or the family's fortune come between us? I told you, it doesn't mean a thing to me, and it doesn't. I'd just as soon throw the whole thing overboard. And I will, too. I'll show you that I don't want to be a Trent. I just want to be a small-town guy, and I want you for my girl.
Before her trip to Chicago, Peggy had only a vague idea of what Carter was offering to give up for her. Now she knows exactly what such a sacrifice would mean. And that knowledge makes her decision even more difficult. And now a message from our sponsor. Peggy asks Carter for a little more time before she gives him a final answer. Be sure to join us on Pepper Young's Family. John Scott speaking.